Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I don't think anybody knows what that is.
No, that was the X-Files music.
No. No.
Then they turned it into a techno song.
Right. Are you agreeing with him right now?
Yeah.
Are you agreeing with
him?
Yeah,
it's correct.
Oh, nah. That sounds so wrong.
Fucking Google that shit. No, YouTube it. Come on. What is the X-Files thing? Hey, Siri, what's the X-Files theme song?
You don't ever do any of the heavy lifting, do you? Get Siri to do everything for you.
I love Siri. Siri's an Irishman on my phone. Literally has an Irish
accent.
Mine's
Irish as well.
I had to pay a little bit extra for him to be a paddy. Hello, Mitchell. Yes, if you take the first left, the second right. There you go, watch. Here you go. Do, do, do. Watch. You ready? Oh, for fuck's sake, hurry up. Hurry the intro.
You cut it.
Why the fuck did you cut it? Honestly,
80 more bars.
Okay, whatever. I'll just agree with you. Right. Anyway, that was Mitch's rendition of the X-Files. Now, I wonder if anybody can guess what we might be talking about.
No, we might not be talking. Listen, I think we should. I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about.
Well, you never know what you're talking about, so let's see where we are.
It hasn't even been a big weekend. Like, I didn't even get on the beers this weekend, so I don't know. I don't know what the fuck we've been talking about.
Anyway.
Tash is pointing at her. You want me to talk about you, Tash?
Go on, talk.
Okay, so, I thought we might talk about literally anything, but, I mean...
We don't know where to start.
Ancient civilizations, some of the crazy ass places we've been to. It's funny. I was looking at a clip the other day from Unexplained, and they were talking about the Americas, and in Ecuador right now they have these caves where they have these scriptures. They're calling them giants. They were giants' caves. They believe that these caves were built by giants. Did you see it? I sent it to you.
I didn't actually see it. I haven't looked at it.
It was so interesting. Because Ecuador, right? Is it not Ecuador? Anyway, there was
somewhere.
No, you remember the place? I had the maps of it, and I put it out to the clients, and I said, "What's the meaning of this word?" And but it basically means land of the giants, but not Ecuador. Sorry, I haven't actually gotten the fucking thing. But land of the giants, because you know there's lots and lots and lots of evidence that there were a giant civilization. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what would have because it's gravity that governs our size. You know, if we'd less gravity, we'd be shorter and stumpier. If we'd more gravity, gravitational pull, we'd be shorter and stumpier. If we'd less, we'd be taller and leaner. That's why there was less gravity when the dinosaurs were around.
Mm.
Make sense? So it's nature that governs our height, our size, our food consumption, everything, not the other way around. And so, so they have these texts and these caves, and in these caves... And they found all these tablets and these gold tablets, and there's tons of footage. Now, all of it was with the Ecuadorian government handed it over to this monk who found it, and now, you know, it's in a private collection somewhere, and nobody knows where it is, and nobody can get rid of it. And there, you know, there were full, you know, skeletons found, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think one of the points there is, you know, first off, I haven't seen any of that material. I don't know, but interesting material at the moment. And then as I was scrolling through my phone, I always save really interesting, what I feel to be interesting pieces on alien life, et cetera, because I love that stuff. I have a deep interest in the origins of how we got here. But about 8-9 months ago, I showed you these clips. They had just done another discovery up in Peru, where this guy, an Italian guy, had gone in and found, these burial sites near the Nazca Lines, and found numerous carcasses of alien, non-humanoid forms that they were taking out. And then the Russians were doing some testing on it, some carbon testing, bone structure testing, et cetera, et cetera. And they were proven to be definitely not of this world. Over 3 meters tall, only 3 fingers. And then, which kind of matches with the Nazca Lines and some of the drawings that are there. But I think the more this evidence comes out, the more we're being pushed to think, you know, to question the origin of where we've come.
So is that why you like talking about this? Like, what is it about all of this that you love? Because I don't think we've talked about it on a podcast before.
I think what I love
about
it.
And I think but anybody who knows you knows that the minute you get a chance to talk about ancient civilizations, alien life and any of that sort of stuff, you love it. Because I think it, for me, how I see it is that it pushes your pushes your thinking about where we're at and who we are and where we fit in the scheme of all of this, in all of this. But I don't know, how do you explain your interest in it?
I think people either, you know, people are either shut off to that stuff based on their own previous past experiences in their lives and their own indoctrination perhaps into a religion or perhaps into, you know, it doesn't have to be, religion teaches you not to think. You know, it teaches you, you know, you got to have faith. You got to be blind, don't ask any questions, keep them in the dark, feed them full of shit. And so people are indoctrinated into that frame of thinking, or people are indoctrinated into, you know, or don't have that frame of thinking and push back against that and then want to understand, you know, okay, ask the bigger questions, you know, because I think that people are in some cases afraid to ask those questions. Why do people not have an interest in the origin of life? I don't know, it's separate for everybody, but I kind of separate it into two different types of people. People who were religiously indoctrinated and are afraid to ask the bigger questions, because we all have a deep, you know, there's four primal questions we ask ourselves. Where have I come from? That's a very, very, very important question that we need to ask. Why am I here? Another very important question we need to ask. What do I do while I'm here? Another very important question that we need to ask. And what happens to me afterwards? Another very important question that we need to ask. And everybody, I think, at some stage within their lives, asks themselves that question. For me, I came from a situation where, you know, my father was very Catholic and I never agreed with any of it. You know, it just didn't make any sense. Like, it makes sense for some people.
It doesn't mean it doesn't have a place. We've already discussed that. But it just doesn't mean, for you, it wasn't enough of an understanding or enough of an explanation is the word I'm looking for about where we came from. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that I just didn't want it to crush my ability to ask questions and be inquisitive about things.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. I didn't believe. And I didn't believe in this stuff, and I didn't want to believe. I had a deeper connection than a belief in something that required me not to ask or not to inquire or ask questions. But I think that now the fact that we have access to information, like, you know, I think we have an innate knowing that there's more to us than what we've been told. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
So therefore you have to inquire. I think it's important to inquire. But, you know, I told you about the experience that I had when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And
we were watching the documentary.
I was watching the documentary and then up came this tablet. And as I looked at the tablet, it explained what the tablet was. And it was like, it was literally a non-humanoid being sitting on a chair with dials around it. And it was a tablet that was over 3,800 years old, found in a tomb in Mexico.
But this is my point, right? You might have not understood, or you might not have agreed with the fact that what you were told was how it was.
Yeah.
But where did your interest in looking at this type of stuff come from? Did it come from that documentary?
Yeah.
Did it come from that moment? Because you were 15 then. You weren't.
Yeah, but I think I always, you know, I always had a feeling that I always had that feeling.
That there was something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so did I. I didn't ever think, well, everything I've been told was true. But I never had that until I was older, until I started travelling, which didn't happen until I was older. I never had that desire to go and find out about some of the stuff that you have looked into and you have researched over the years.
But you have
so I think that documentary at 15 made a massive difference, right?
Yeah, but I mean, when you go, so I've, you know how we ended up stumbling across that tablet anyway, right? We ended up
We were in Mexico in the
largest anthropological museum in the world.
And you'd whispered to me, and you're like, Millsy, remember?
Yeah, remember,
you know,
I told you that
really story. I really want to ask him if he knows about it, you know?
Yeah, and then 2 minutes later he said, hey, do you want to come and see something? And then brought us down into the guts.
Was this covert operation? Because we had to sneak through security cameras and stuff.
Took us into the belly of, the largest anthropological museum in the world and switched on the lights. And I was looking at the tablet that I'd been looking at when I was 15 years old.
Burst into tears.
And I was like, holy shit. And it was like life had just led me here to, you know. But, I mean, we look at these civilizations and we've walked the path of lots of these civilizations. We've been in the jungles. We've been at the coalface of this stuff. And when you get there, you have to ask yourself, you know, the problem is, I think, that we've been told that we are intelligent life. You know, we are the epitome and you know, of what intelligent life has become. But when you simply go back through time, you'll realize that there were civilizations that were fucking, what if not more, you know, they might not have been technologically as advanced as we are, but intelligence wise they were way more, they were achieving way more than we're only barely capable of achieving right now, you know. And you don't have to look very far to do that. You know, I mean, modern archaeology wants everything to fit within this model, but modern archaeology is just getting obliterated at the moment, because the more and more and more we discover things and we discover civilizations, you know, you just have to go to Göbekli Tepe, you just have to look at Cusco, the minute you go there and look at what was actually, these people were capable of doing, you cannot get your head around it.
But what is it about, you still haven't answered my question, what is it about it? I mean, well, you kind of have, in the sense that you always thought something different, but it's like, why does it mean something for you? Like, what is it that you think, what meaning have you attributed to it? Because it's more than just the curiosity of knowing what was there back then.
Because I think it's also I think it's the wow, you know, you stop and you look at these things and you think, this is just incredible, you know. And I think in some way it gives you, you know, it gives you some sort of acknowledgement that what you knew when you were young, you know, to hold on to the part of you that's inquisitive, never let go of that, you know. And so it allows me to connect with that younger part of me that was inquisitive, you know, and not disconnect from that part of me, because I love that part of
you. Because you're kind of like a child when you're finding out this new information. Yeah. Like, oh my God. And it's, you've got that awe and wonder about you when you're finding out anything
and
new.
I think when you go to these places and you walk around there, you feel
now
very,
that's different.
You feel very humbled. You're like, Jesus, you feel like, you know, this.
When you're there and you can, like, my experience is that when you're there, there's something magical that happens, because you're like going in and seeing that template. But even in the museum was awesome.
Tablet.
But going into that template.
This is
tablet,
a template for a tablet.
Seeing that tablet was amazing, because of just even just where we had to go into to do that. Do you know what I mean? And we had to walk down those steps and be in that cave, you know, like environment,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But then going into the Sacred Valley in South America and seeing some of those other sites in Mexico and some of the other places we've seen, and being and standing there and seeing it with your own eyes and seeing, you know, some of the things that they've created was just phenomenal. And what that and how they managed to do it without the technology that we have today.
But they have archaeology has a section that has artifacts that are unexplainable artifacts. They have sections that are unexplainable artifacts that they have to get them and just go, well, we can't explain this. Like, they have a microchip, and you can Google it now, Tash. They have a microchip that's over 2.5 million years old that is in a piece of stone. Unexplained microchip over 2.5 million years in a piece of stone. They have they have artifacts, you know, of beings wearing helmets that are, you know, 35,000 years old, you know. Like, we're told that, you know, everything started to come together around about the time of the pharaohs. You know, they were really the intelligent ones. And now it's coming to light that it's very likely that the Egyptians, again, populated this area. They weren't responsible for the construction of the pyramids. You know, you go to school, like my nephew a couple of years ago was doing a project on ancient Egypt. And he when he drew up the pyramids of Giza, did you find it? You did find it, or you didn't find it? John said he can't find it. Did you find it? Why are you saying yes? Oh, you're saying fuck me. Okay,
Listen, don't worry about it. Just carry on with the story. Your nephew,
ancient artifact. So anyway, so he goes and does a drawing of the pyramids of Giza, and in actual fact, the burial chamber is outside of the Pyramid of Giza. It's not in the Pyramid of Giza. The Pyramid of Giza was not a burial chamber. But when he took it to the school said to him, no, you can't do that. you have to put it inside. And he goes, well, no, it's not inside. It's actually outside. So modern archaeology now wants us to believe things only happened the way they said it happened. But now that's just getting blown out of the water.
When you look in further. Do you think? So again, like why? What do you think? What impact do you think knowing about this stuff has in the bigger picture of things?
Well,
is it because you want to see that? I've asked you this before, and I think I get a picture or I get a sense that the reason that you're so interested is that you get to see that who we are and what we are when we look at it, that our worries and our concerns and the things that we have going on are just minuscule in the grand scheme of what, you know, when we look at some of the
what if we are timeless? What if our energy is timeless? And what if we have been here? And what if when we go there, the reason we're in that state of awe is because we're remembering? You know, this is more of a reminder, you know, because if we are timeless, spaceless, chargeless, massless energy, which is what we are, if you understand energy, the energy is timeless, spaceless, chargeless, and massless, and we're all made up of that.
Mm.
So, and this is, you know, this is a finite experience of a human being sitting inside of a suit that we've checked into for 80 years.
Yeah.
And then we've been here before. So when you go there, I think there's a sense of, you know, for me, there's a sense of, wow, you know, this is wow. But also I kind of feel like I'm at home. Like, this is what we're about. You know, this gives me a much broader scope of who I am as a human
being. And I think that's the important part there, because I think that is where, in knowing this, looking back on that, only means something when you can see how it relates to now. Does that make sense? And how it relates to you as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? Mm-hmm. It's not about, oh, this happened and, you know, isn't that interesting? It's not enough to – it's not just about it being interesting. It's about it being the most evolved version of ourselves in a way, don't you think?
Yeah, but for sure. I mean,
because, for example, what good is it to know that this is what was happening back then? Like, for example, when we were in the Sacred Valley, and you know, you've got your piece of paper, and you're trying to get your piece of paper between these two rocks, and you know you can't, right? Because they had done it with such precision, getting and you know, it took them how many years? They had to think beyond their lifetime to be able to build these structures and these things that they built, and with such precision as they built them, right?
But I also feel that in understanding that, right, and you go there and look at that stuff, they didn't just build structures. Like, they didn't just build structures. We built structures, right?
Yeah.
They built structures with an immortal view of things.
Yes.
They built things because it's very likely that they, you know, their understanding of astronomy and astrology, they wanted to be, they weren't, they were building time capsules. You know, they were building things that they knew were going to stand the test of time. They knew were going to stand cataclysmic events. You know, because if we understand how old these monolithic structures are, and you understand how many cataclysmic events this planet has had within the lifespan of those monolithic structures, you suddenly realize that these people were building things as a reminder, to remind us, but also to give us some sort of level of hope to understand that, yes, this is what happens. There's no permanent habitats. This is not a fucking permanent habitat. You know,
but it's,
your body's not a permanent habitat. You know, we things transform, things change. I go there and I look at that stuff and I feel like, wow, this is talking to me in some way.
That's my point, right? Because it's not about just going, oh, that's interesting, unless you can relate it into your life and do something about that and utilize that, wouldn't you agree?
You're my wife, who you take there and she goes, you're not going to show me another fucking tomb.
No, exactly. But that's my point. The reason I think that, because Ange isn't interested in that stuff, right? She's just not. But because for her, it just is that. It just is some more rocks. It's just some more, you know, places where people lived in the past, or, you know, things that they made or whatever. But for you, it's something more, and that's my point, is that what that more for you is, I think, what's important, because I think that's about what the message that you get from that, which is like, we don't have to we think they these guys think beyond their lifetime. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So it makes you have to think for if you are registering and understanding what was happening back there. Surely it has an impact in the legacy that you want to leave.
Yeah.
Like, would you agree or not?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Because
well, I mean, for me, I just want people to think about how they're thinking.
Right.
For me, I just want people to think long term, you know, to really understand that if you want to make a difference here, you can make a difference here and leave this world a better place. So now you've immortalized yourself. You know, these people build things with an immortal view of reality. You know, they built things.
They didn't think that death was stopping.
They honored life by in a lot of cases by killing their firstborn. That's how they honored life, and they had an immortal view of their reality. They saw things beyond their lifetime.
So
that meant that they must have understood energy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
They must have had an immortal view of energy. They must have understood what they were, that they were timeless.
That it was more than that, which is kind of like, I mean, that line that I just said was a line from an Alanis Morissette song, which is how about not equating death with stopping, right? Mm. And this is something that we saw that we see when we look at these civilizations, that they didn't equate death with stopping. They had a view of their lives that was greater, mm-hmm. and it had a collective purpose. You know, it was greater than their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So this is my point, and I think even in the last little while, when people in our world have been so afraid of death, there's a part of that if they understood what we were, there would not be that fear mm-hmm. of death. Would you agree?
I totally agree. You know, you understand what you are, and you're not afraid. You only start to live.
Mm.
You know, and I think we're all hungering to understand what we are, or else it's too big a leap for people, so they just go to sleep.
So is that why? So do you think that having and knowing and learning about this, and I mean, we haven't even touched on some of the stuff that you've looked into in terms of you know, aliens, in terms of old, you know, ancient civilizations. We've just kind of covered broad in that sense. But do you think that in knowing that stuff and in being aware of that you have a different sense of what life is as a result of that, or what death is?
Yes, but it still doesn't mean that I'm not going to react to it like any other person.
Of course, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah,
but for sure, I mean, I definitely pride myself on the fact that I don't think in terms of how other people think around death.
So you think it's that it's the concept of thinking that is more important to you,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the civilizations and the stuff itself? Is the concept of thinking beyond how you always think, is that more important to you than the?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that life left lots of clues to encourage us to do that.
Right.
You know, life left. There's lots of monuments. There's lots of artifacts. There's, you know. Even if we had a cataclysmic event happen tomorrow, those some of those structures would still be there for the next civilization. You know,
give me an example
of a civilization.
Yeah,
I think that. I mean, you just go to Wenyu Pichu, Machu Picchu, any of those places and have a look. You know, Sacsayhuamama. That's fucking insane. You go to that place and you can see how they were molding rock. So, how did they do that? Like, how did they scrape, you know, a 150-ton piece of stone? How did they scrape a shape into it, like having a butter knife run across your butter? How did they do that?
And those were pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, you're looking at it, you know, and you're going, we can't do that today.
Mm.
We have no idea how to do that. So, how were they making matter? You know, they didn't have the tool work. There's no signs of tooling that can do that anywhere in any of those places. Nothing. But they've got bodies, they've got skeletons, they've got bowls, they've got food implements, they've got tools, but none of the tools that could do that. Mm. So how were they doing it?
Mm.
They must have had some sort of wisdom that allowed them to manipulate matter to be able to form what they formed. And then as you go, you know, as you get, you know, you go further into our time, you're finding that the civilizations became more ignorant. Like, we're really ignorant in comparison to what they knew.
Yeah, we're talking about that, about going in and seeing, where was it that they didn't have any weapons and they didn't have any, where was that? Is that
Göbekli Tepe? Göbekli Tepe, yeah. So Göbekli Tepe is remember Göbekli Tepe was never an occupied place, and I mean Graham Hancock has a great point. He says when you go there, it's like modern archaeology has covered it in, has uncovered it, but has covered it with corrugated roofing. But that's why the fuck would you do Weird. That? In actual fact. It's an astral projection. It's a sundial, you know. It's for monitoring. It's for monitoring space. So when you're there, you know, to actually understand what it is as a piece of equipment and a tool, you can't do that if you're covering the sky. You know, like
that's a common theme with all of the places that we've been to and anywhere you learn about is that they're all astral projections. Like I have a sculpture at home.
There was an intrinsic, deep link that all of those civilizations had with our astral world.
Yes.
There was it doesn't matter where, no matter what place we went to through Mexico, everything was all about the stars.
Yeah.
And it was like they had a relationship, a deep communication, like
and
not,
they were,
not just an appreciation, it was a communication. They understood that, you know, the celestial realm and the astral realms were communicating to them and were responsible for information, and they understood that to be more evolved in terms of their intelligence, they had to look to the celestial realms, and they had to have a deep connection between themselves and the celestial realms, which meant that nature was involved in it, plants were involved in it, you know, and medicines were involved in it. So the connection between Pachamama and the celestial realms was to do with the food consumption, the body. They understood themselves as a vessel. You know, you walk over a large pond and it's like, oh, this is for, you know, what was this for? It's for reflection. No, you mean like meditating? No, for reflection, pointing up to the stars. And they would sit and they would look at these ponds and pools and they would monitor the stars because they were getting data which allowed them to understand the seasons, which allowed them to eat better, but which also allowed them to understand their connection to energy and life and everything, you know?
I find that absolutely fascinating. Because everywhere you went, like in Mexico, it was like at the solstice here, at the sun, you know, at noon or whatever, it shines a light and it lights certain things up in the temple. Yeah. And the precision that they had to have be able to do those, to be able to create those.
But not just that. Every fucking building that they built was about that.
Yeah, I remember.
You know,
they
weren't just building like the QV1 building in Perth or the Optus Stadium for, you know, everything was situated and was all, you know, to do with energy and an astral projection. You know, there was nothing random about anything that they built. You know, and then when you look at what they built, when you look at what these civilizations built, it's astonishing. Like you think, fuck. Let alone did they build these buildings. They didn't just bring in bricks and build everything. Every brick they bought in was cut into an accurate shape that you can't get a piece of paper between. But when you step away from the shape of the rock formations, they make up a llama or it makes up a condor. It's just insane, you know. And then where it's situated at a certain time of the year, the sun shines through it and lights it up. You know, with an accuracy that we couldn't replicate 50 years ago. So you have to understand the intelligence, and that has to give you hope, you know, that the reason they had this intrinsic link in this relationship.
Well, they were connected, right? Because nowadays we don't do that. We don't spend our time gazing up.
We don't eat to connect. We don't drink to connect. We don't meditate to connect. We don't consume to connect.
We do it all to disconnect.
And everything we do is based on a finite view of our lives. You wouldn't fuck things up in an 80-year period if you knew you were coming back here. You know what I mean? You wouldn't. You wouldn't be smashing fossil fuels if you knew in 80 years it was going to fuck up your economy or it was going to make sure that you didn't live properly next time you came around. So incarnation was absolutely a part of the cycle of things. Do you know what I mean? So the honouring that they had of, as I said, of Pachamama and Mother Earth and the celestial and astral realms was phenomenal. So you have to be in awe of that. You know, you have to be in awe of it. And then the other thing is why such a deep connection with space? why would it, it was like they were talking to something. It was like they were saying, I don't know. It's like when you go to the Nazca lines and you look at the size of these things.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
You think, what the fuck? And, and it's for, like, it's huge. It's fast. And you think, why were they doing that? Like, why would you spend so much time doing that? I just don't get it. Unless there is, you're trying to communicate with something or you're, you know, I just think it's crazy. I just think it's crazy. And then when you look at those, you go through and you're looking at the architecture and you're watching beings with helmets, with breathing masks, with, you know, like that, you're watching full body suits. Like, it's just fucking insane. Why were they thinking that? You know, what does that bodysuit represent? What does the helmet represent? What does the breathing apparatus represent? Is that what it was? Or, I don't know, was it a denture cleaner? Or was it a fucking something for, you know, I don't know, was it a some sort of prison that you put on someone? But you just don't know, you know? But it makes you think. I mean, Jesus.
I think that's why you like it, don't you? Because it makes you think.
Yeah.
It makes you think about what's out there and what's
But we in should here be thinking about that. You know, this, this we 100% should be thinking about that stuff.
Don't take everything we're talking. No. Well, this is the thing, right? So I'll kind of finish with this, and then I think you can give people maybe some ideas of what they can read or whatever to look into it more. But, you know, back then they didn't have television. They didn't have anything to distract them, right? Now we are so distracted by what's happening here. We don't look up at what, you know, we don't look up to the stars. That was their entertainment. That's what, you know, that's how they had their level of connection, would you agree? So as a result of that, they were mapping the stars. They were looking at the patterns and, that were forming and that were taking place around them, and they were using that to connect, right? Because, you know, they showed us in South America how they used a position of a star every year to tell them whether they were going to have good crops or bad crops or whatever. Or not a position, the night of on that day every year, that the weather that night would tell them what was going to happen with the crops that year, you know. So they were able to predict with accuracy.
But they also, you know, they also mapped El Nino, you know, and they also, you know, they understood that the planet sat on an axis. You know, they understood that stuff. They understood ages. You know, I remembered saying to one of Daniel Eyre Sherman when we were out there, you know, how did this, where haven't everybody? Like, it's like they fucking stood up and walked off. And he goes, yes. And I said, well, why did that happen? And he said, it actually happened. I said, so did it happen when the Spanish arrived? And he goes, no, it happened about 270 years before the Spanish arrived. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. I said, why? And he goes, because they knew that it was the end of a civilization. And I'm like, I said, how did they know? And he went, pointed up. And he went, because the celestial realms told them, Mitch. And I'm like, shit. You know, that wasn't somebody went, hey, listen, it's all over in about 270 years, mate. That was literally them understanding the planet sitting on the axis and that they were coming in to a new age and that this age, it was over.
What do you reckon people, what's a good starting point? Would you say Graham Hancock is a good starting point for people?
Yeah, Chariots of the Gods, Magicians of the Gods by Graham Hancock is a great start to think. It's also, I mean, Magicians of the Gods is a scary book. You know, at the end of it, it's like, whoa, when you understand what he's actually talking about, it's a scary book. So, but it's a great read. And I wouldn't, you know, I'd probably listen to it before I'd read it. Just, it's up to yourself.
It's a big
book. Yeah, it's a big book. But that sort of stuff, I mean, you can look at, like, Gaia is a great resource, really, really cool resource. And then, as you've heard me say before, there's a great documentary by Dr. Stephen Greer. Any of Stephen Greer's work is fantastic. Unacknowledged is a great Netflix doco. And there's Unacknowledged 2 has just come out, but Netflix won't put it up.
Right. There you go.
They won't put it up. But yeah, it's there. Check it out. It's cool.
Cool.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.